doing? Hey, man. Does anybody have a favorite? How about 445? 445.
That sounds like a good one.
Yes. It is a good one. If we don't, we'll practice. Didn't want to do the first one this morning because need a little practice sometimes. Don't feel comfortable. Jesus will walk with me down through the valley. Jesus will walk with me over the plain. When in the shadow or when in the sunshine, if he goes with me, I shall not complain. Jesus will walk with me, he will talk with me, he will walk with me. In joy and sorrow, today and tomorrow, I know he will walk with me. Jesus will walk with me when I am tempted, giving me strength as my need may demand. When in affliction, his presence is near me. I am upheld by his almighty hand. Jesus will walk with me, he will talk with me, he will walk with me. In joy and sorrow, today and tomorrow, I know he will walk with me. Jesus will walk with me, guarding me ever, giving me victory through storm and through strife. He is my comforter, counselor, leader, over the uneven journey of life. Jesus will walk with me, he will talk with me, he will walk with me. In joy or in sorrow, today and tomorrow, I know he will walk with me. Jesus will walk with me in life's fair morning, and when the shadow of evening must come, living or dying, he will not forsake me. Jesus will walk with me all the way home. Jesus will walk with me, he will talk with me, he will walk with me. In joy or in sorrow, today and tomorrow, I know he will walk with me. Amen. 423. Not too far back. 423.
On that last song there, I hope you notice this. This is where that came from. When the guy says to the other guy, says he says, how many days in the week start with a T? And tomorrow.
Start with a T.
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow?
Today and tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's what, what's his name, knew about that song, or he wrote that song.
Amen.
Today and tomorrow.
Yeah, that's.
Mary got it. You might have wanted to be the one that started that. I don't know.
I still haven't gotten it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me, I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
We have to remind ourselves of that, you know, because a lot of times when things are going on, you know, it's easy to blame God. It's easy to, you know, think that, you know, he's not on our side. So we need to always remember that he loves us, you know, that he's on our side. He wants the best for us. Amen. 477. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Though the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. 368. not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when your heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen. What did you? 553. Sorry, brother. 553. We're going to have our offering after this. No, 553 first. I'm just kidding.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Okay, one more and we'll have our, what was that, 667?
617.
Would you please come, brother? 617. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Everyone may rise. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have built in him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his being that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Amen. I think that's the first time I got all the words right. I'm sorry. But amen, Brother Ramel.
Thank you.
Amen.
One day Jesus was sitting in the upper room with his disciples, and he was telling them about going away and preparing a place for us, all this. And one of his disciples, old Philip, got pretty spiritual, and he says, "Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father, it will suffice us." And Jesus answered his question, but he kind of answered it in a way of rebuke. "Have I been so long with you and you don't know what the Father looks like, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." But there are lots of times whenever we think in our imagination about going to heaven, and we think about the throne, and we think about God sitting on the throne. What's he going to look like when we see him? Let's go back to Genesis, first chapter. Down to verse 26. "And God said, let us make man." Us is plural, is it not? He doesn't say, like he's sitting there all by himself in solitude, and says, "I think I will make a man. And I will make him to look like me." He said, "Let us." Why? Because there's God the Father, and there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And they're getting together on this. They're going to make a race of people we call humanity. He's going to make it to populate this earth that he had formed. "Let us make man." What's he going to look like? How are we going to make him? "In our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion." Now, dominion doesn't mean ownership, it means authority. Let's put them in charge of everything that we've created thus far. Let's give them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, most of the time when we read this, sad to say, we look at it from the standpoint of man. Man. Man was created in the image of... Is our machine on back there? I can't see any lights. Pat, is that thing running? Huh? It should be. It's on. All right. That's good. I couldn't see it from here, and I'm thinking about Wayne because he depends on these so much. Anyway, man was created in the image of God. Isn't that what this verse says? It doesn't say that God was created in the image of man. So let's not get it backward. We look at a human being's body and we think, God looks like me. But that's the wrong perspective. I look like God. All right. Did it flip in your mind? You see the difference there? Because in one of them, I become the center, the object of attraction. And the other one is God. God doesn't when he was creating all this stuff, he didn't look over there and see that big old dinosaur walking around and the elephant over there by him. And boy, he said, I wasted a lot of dust. By the way, did you know that he made all that stuff out of the dust? Some people think that he just spoke and boom, here was a dinosaur. But he made those out of dust, just like he did man. Now, he didn't say, well, there's a lot of dirt in that thing. Maybe I'll take part of him and, you know, reduce his size a little bit and make man out of him or something like that. God just looked at himself in the mirror. And he said, I'll make him like me. And he did. And that's the reason why we look the way we do. And nobody's satisfied with the way they look. Too big here, too small there. You know what I mean? We look like God, don't we? Yes. So if you want to know what God looks like, take a good hard look at a human being. By the way, when you do this, and I'm serious about this, think about yourself even. You can start with yourself and then you can look at somebody else. But I want you to see if you can find either in yourself or in the other person that you're looking at the tracks of the Trinity. If it is let us make man in our image after our likeness, you're going to find some parts of a man who looks like God the Father. You're going to find some traits of the Son of God. You're going to find some evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. Because we were made in his image after his likeness, right? So there's going to be parts of you that you only yourself probably can recognize in your own personality that you can say, this part of me is like God the Father. This trait that I have is like the Son, like Jesus. And this is like the Holy Spirit. And see the tracks of the Trinity in the personality of individual human beings made in the likeness of God. Now, it doth not now appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And as I've said before, what we will be is a lot better than what we are now. Any change that is made is going to be for the better, not for the worse. Just like he tells us there's no death, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. A lot of these things, see, eliminated. But I want you to go over to Psalm 17 for a moment, because of all of the chapters in the Bible, this is the one chapter that seems to give the most complete and the most wonderful description of what God looks like. And anything that I can see that reminds me of him, I like it. In this 17th Psalm, we find that God has eyes, lips, ears, hands, a face. And in verse 8, we're going to find out that God has wings. God has wings. We'll discuss that more when we get to it, because that seems to be lacking on some of us. I don't think Sue's got wings. No. God's got wings. Something's, we lost them somewhere, didn't we, Mark? Yeah. Yeah. Let's look at verse 2, God's eyes. Let thine eyes behold the things. God has eyes. I went down, what was it, Thursday, Friday, something like that. Had my eyeballs examined. Been a couple of years. They've changed somewhat. And my vision now, instead of being 20/20, is 20/30. Next year or so, it may be 20/50. We think going up 20, 30, 40, 50 like that, oh boy, it's getting better. But the problem is, it's not. It should be going down. I don't know who counted it that way, but it should be going down to 10 and 5 and 6 and things like that, see. Mine's 20, 30. It's easy to remember anyway. God's eyes are 20, 20. He doesn't have to wear bifocals or trifocals or anything like that. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place God can see anywhere he wants to. There's no place that's hid from him. In every place, beholding, what's he looking at? Beholding the evil and the good. He sees the evil that bad people do, and he sees the good that good people do. And then our text says, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. So he sees the good, the evil, and the equal. He sees everything. He can even see into the heart of man. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, our mind. He knows all of our sins. He knows all of our good works. He knows all about us. Psalm 94 verse 9 says, he that planted the ear. You didn't know the ears were planted, did you? They keep growing, you know, unless you restrict them. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye. The eye was formed. The ear was planted. Shall he not see? And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we read about Noah. And the scripture tells us that Noah found grace. Where did he find it? In the eyes of the Lord. That's where we find grace too. In the eyes of the Lord. The Bible tells us that God saw that Job was a perfect and upright man, one who feared God and shunned evil. The Bible tells us that God saw that David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He was pleased and he called David a man after God's own heart. God's eyes. Well, look at verse 6. God has ears. Incline thine ear unto me. God is not deaf. He doesn't have to wear hearing aids. And as the eye is for seeing, the ear is for hearing. I like what Isaiah said in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not... Pardon me. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. In other words, you're lost down here in your sin and God reaches down. He said, I can't quite reach you. You're just quite 6 inches out of my reach. You might as well be 6 miles. If God's hand is shortened, that it cannot save. But we're told here that it is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. God has selective hearing. You think God's listening to you? Huh. He's got his head turned. He's not even looking at you. And he's not listening to you. Why? Because your sins and iniquities have separated from you. Well, when God hears with his ear, what does he hear? I like what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear with his ears. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their sin. their land. God hears the prayers of his people. He hears the penitent confession of the sinner. He hears the cry of his people when they're in trouble. Reading over there in Exodus, and you'll find that God heard the cry of the enslaved Israelites in the land of Egypt. They were in bondage there. Get over in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was cast down into a pit, and he cried out to the Lord from the pit, and God heard Jeremiah when he cried to him. Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. He called on the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly at the bottom of the ocean, and God heard him pray. God's ear is not heavy. He heard the cry of the publican. Who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He heard the request of the dying thief on the cross when he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And God can speak. He has lips. Verse 4. By the word of thy lips, I have kept me. God can talk. When he speaks with authority. Sometimes when God speaks, it's with a very loud voice, the voice of thunder. Sometimes when God speaks, it's a still, small voice that speaks into your ear, and God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we need to hear what God has to say. When God speaks, we need to just shut up and listen and hear and obey. We need to hear what God has to say about sin. He says, all have sinned. He says, the wages of sin is death. He says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We need to hear what he says about salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's the only one whose lips can say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then let's talk about his hand in verse 7. O thou that savest by thy right hand. God's right-handed. When we think of God's hands, we cannot but think about scars in his hands. Where he was hung on the cross of Calvary, and he used his wounds to prove that he was indeed the same Christ who was crucified after his resurrection. We think about the power in God's hand. Power to save, power to deliver, power to bring down judgment and condemnation and destruction, as the case may be. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 21, about God when he brought up Israel out of Egypt. He said, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The hand of God. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14. Ezekiel wrote these words. He said, "The hand of the Lord was strong upon me." First Kings chapter 18, verse 46. "The hand of the Lord was upon Elijah." Ezra 7, verse 6. "The hand of the Lord was on Ezra." Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Remember the time it's recorded over in Mark 14. The disciples of Jesus were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they look out across the water and say, "Who is that guy coming over here toward us? He's walking on the water." Peter said, "Jesus, is that you?" "Yeah, it's me. Bid me come unto thee." And Jesus said, "Well, come on." And Simon Peter stepped over the side of that boat and began to walk to Jesus on top of the water. And then he saw the waves, took his eyes off Jesus for just a moment, and he saw those old boisterous waves. And he must have begun to think, "What am I doing out here? I can't walk on water." And sure enough, down he went like a rock. And the Bible says that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I like that. But look at verse 8. "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Yeah. Well, this is one way that God's different from us, isn't it? There's no description given of God that shows that he has wings. We think of angels having wings, but we don't give that attribute to God. Maybe Adam and Eve had wings, and maybe they got clipped because of their escapade that they had in the Garden of Eden. You reckon? Maybe they lost their wings. We had a little bird one time, a pet one, that we had to keep some feathers clipped. You ever do that? Have a bird for a pet? That's the way you do it. Maybe we got our wings clipped when mankind sinned. I don't know. All I know is that God still has his, and we don't have them. By the way, and I chased these references down. I tried to find out why God had wings and we didn't, and we're in his image, in his likeness. I read a whole batch of references about God and his wings. It's not mentioned just once or twice. It's in there quite a few times. But there's not a single instance when God used his wings to fly. Not a one. Nowhere does it say that God stood up here, you know, and he flapped his wings and he took off and flew. What did he do with his wings? I'm going to share some of these with you. He used his wings as a shelter to protect his own. Now, you'll remember that Jesus said one time, Matthew 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He's not talking about his wings here, but he's talking about a chicken, a mother hen, and how she uses her wings to protect her little children, her little chickens. Now, let me give you some scriptures about God's wings. Psalm 17, verse 8. The psalmist said, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Can you think of a safer place to be? Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Under his wings. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. Did you know about God's wings? There's a good place to find shelter and safety in the time of storm when you're having trouble. See, you learned something tonight. You've got a new hiding place under his wings. Psalm 61, verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. See there? God's got feathers. You don't have any feathers. Another way we're not like him. Feathers associated with wings here in this verse. It says, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So God's wings speak of a place of safety and shelter, a refuge, a hiding place where we can be protected and provided for. But there's another part of God I want us to see that we like. God has a face. Verse 15, I will behold thy face in righteousness. There's a scripture, and I don't even know the reference to it right now, that says that no man hath seen God at any time. Now, when you read that verse, you try to reconcile it with some others, here again, you've got to look at the human characteristics of God in a different way and say, am I looking for God the Father, or God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? When he says, no man hath seen God at any time. Because listen at this. Genesis 32, verse 30. This is Jacob. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. In other words, he didn't die. Remember when he said that? He spent all night in a wrestling match with the angel of God at Peniel on the side of the brook down there. That's where his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, because he prevailed with God. What about Moses? We think about Moses at the burning bush. He saw the bush, but he didn't see God. He heard his voice. When he's up on top of Mount Sinai, we talked about it today. He's up there with the Lord. And he said, Lord, I want to see you face to face. No, you can't see me face to face. He put him in a cleft of the rock, a crack in the rock. Facing the crack in the rock, and God passed by. But Moses sneaked a peek, I think. And when he looked, he saw God had already passed by, and he saw his backside down here, you know, as he was still going. And yet, that one glimpse of God that he had, the glory of God impaled itself into the flesh of his face. And when he came down from the mountain, he had to wear his face covered with a veil because the people could not look upon him. His face was reflecting the glory of God. But here's what the scripture says. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Go over into Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. This is written about Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. How about that? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. You got shades in your car. You take your eyeglasses off. You put your shades on when the summer sunshine is shining out there. And that makes it easier for you to see. I've got that stuff built into mine. I walk out in the sunshine, it's automatic. The glass up here just turns dark. And I've got shades. Don't even have to push a button. Paul said this, now we see through a glass darkly. We've got shades on, right? But then, face to face. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. There used to be a lady, Mrs. Frank Breck. She was inspired by this verse of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, 12. And one day she sat down and wrote a beautiful song about it. It's number 691 in our hymnal, and it's entitled, face to face. Read the words to it. It's beautiful. And then we sang a song a little while ago, and I looked up there in the corner to see who wrote that beautiful hymn. And it had a name up there that I recognized. Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby. She died on February the 12th, 1915. That's 100 years ago. That's when she died. But she lived 95 years. And during the 95 years that God gave that gal to live, she wrote over 8,000 songs. And we're still singing them even tonight. But Fanny Crosby was blind. Fanny Crosby never saw the face of her darling mother. And one of the songs that I like was the one that says, "And I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that just reach down and pluck your heartstrings? Because when she died 100 years ago this year, first thing her eyes, her sight ever saw, after having lived 95 years here, was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. You know, in this description of God, with all of these things that we've talked about, his eyes, ears, nose, mouth, things like that, we see our salvation. Because it was with God's eyes that he saw us in our piteous, lost condition. He knew us when we were unsaved. I lived a dangerous life out in the country. It's a wonder I grew up. But I think of all of the opportunities I had to die without God as I was growing up. Dangerous places I was. Dangerous things I did. But I think God kept me under the shelter of his wings. And then there came a time when God saw me in my lost condition. And with his heart, he loved me. And with his ears, he heard my feeble cry when I asked him to save me. And when I called upon him with his hand, he reached down into that old horrible pit and he took me out and he cleaned me up and he put a song of praise in my mouth. And he established my goings. And I'm still going. And with his wonderful lips, he spoke my sins forgiven. And with his wings, oh, I'll tell you, I've spent time under the wings of God. Under his wings, he protects us. Until one day soon we shall see him face to face. Whom I shall see and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Let's stand together, we'll be dismissed in prayer. Appreciate your coming tonight. But think about what I've said tonight about these things about God, and think about yourself, and and start looking at your own humanity and comparing yourself with your Maker, who made you in His image. And you'll see traits that are like God the Father, and about the Holy Spirit, and about Jesus Christ the Son. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your presence with us in this service. Oh, how we thank You for Your word. How we thank You for this description tonight that we have of You. It makes us, well, I don't know, it just satisfies something within us like Philip was looking for. To just know who You are and what You are and how You care for us and all these good things. It's such a joy to be a Christian. Such a joy to know that our sins are forgiven and that we are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank You for loving us. And Lord, watch over us, keep us under the shelter of Your wings. Watch over us. Supply our needs. Bless those among us who are sick. Let Your comforting, strengthening hand reach out to them and touch them with Your healing touch. And Father, we pray for the multitude of people who are lost that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Use us in whatever way You can to reach them and bring them into the fold where they'll be safe. We belong to You. You've saved us. Keep us in Your love and care. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you real good.